This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on Thursday, July 12, 2007. Should you have questions after listening to this recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item on our agenda is a report of the Audit Division on the Demint for Senate Committee. And we have Alex Bonowitz and Joe Stoltz and Teshvai Ashmamal from the Staff Director's Office from the Audit Division. And I don't think we're contemporaries in this on our documents. Yes. Very good. I'm sorry, Mr. Bonowitz, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Commissioners. The report of the Audit Division on Demint for Senate Committee, Inc. presents five findings. The issues in findings 1, 3, 4, and 5 are relatively straightforward. My comments on the report will be with respect to the second finding, failure to file 48-hour notices. The committee did not file 48-hour notices for 84 contributions totaling about $175,000 prior to the primary, runoff, and general elections. In response to the interim report recommendation, the committee argued that contributions totaling about $60,000 were received in the 2 days after the end of the primary election 48-hour notice period, after the beginning of the runoff election 48-hour notice period, and before the results of the primary were known to establish and that a runoff would be necessary. The candidate participated in both elections, and the committee contends that no 48-hour notices should be required until it was certain that the runoff election should occur. The report concludes that the notices were required. We are prepared to answer any questions you may have.
Very good. We have objections on this from both Vice Chairman Mason and Commissioner Von Spakovsky. Vice Chairman Mason, would you like to begin?
Thank you. Do we know who the other candidates were in the primary?
I know one of the other candidates was Governor David Beasley. I don't know if there were others.
Well, presumably there were others because there was a runoff necessary, and if there had only been two, then the runoff would have been necessary.
That's probably correct. I don't have the names, though.
And as to the candidates who didn't make the runoff, were they required to file 48-hour reports during the period that we think the Demint Committee was required to file those reports?
I don't believe they would have been required to file the notices.
So how does anybody know?
Well, the candidates are put on notice early. The commission sent out the notice, I believe it was May 3rd.
All three candidates or four or however many received the same notice.
I believe so.
The notice wouldn't tell which needed to file and which didn't need to file.
No, just inform them of if a runoff was necessary, the dates for filing runoff reports and the 48-hour notices.
So it was conditional if a runoff was necessary.
Correct.
When were the candidates aware whether that condition was fulfilled or triggered?
Although the election was not certified officially till the 12th, I suspect they would have known either late the night of the primary or certainly the following morning, June 9th.
And yet we want them to file reports running back to what date?
It would have been contributions received on June 7th and June 8th. Now, the bulk of the contributions were received on June 8th, about $52,000. And those notices would have been required to be filed by June 10th.
So the campaign didn't have official notice until June the 12th, and they couldn't have had actual notice before sometime at the night of June the 8th.
Correct.
And despite that, contributions coming in on June 7th and 8th should have been reported.
That is the position we're taking, yes.
I'm afraid I disagree. when we have reporting requirements that relate to a runoff election, and it is not yet determined whether the election is even going to be held, much less which candidates will be in it, I don't think we can project back reporting requirements. It's, you know, I don't know what the facts are as to the period between the 9th and the 12th, and I think there even would be presumably some question about that because, you know, until the thing's certified, I don't know. But certainly, at least for my part, I don't see how we can establish a reporting requirement for an election that doesn't exist and may never be held. And I don't know, you know, in this case, I sort of vaguely remember the primary and, of course, the ex-governor, and I believe Senator DeMint was a member of the House, and it may well have been a factual situation where the two of them were clearly the leaders, but it's probably not a situation. Well, I would not want to get into a situation where the answer depended on what the polls looked like, you know, and that if we had two candidates at 40% and one candidate at 20%, the candidates at 40% by virtue of the polls, you know, had to start filing these. I think we need a hard and fast date, or we need a date certainly no sooner than the date of the primary, and the primary needs to be over before the runoff filing requirements can go into effect.
Commissioner Von Spakovsky?
Well, my objection, Mr. Chairman, is along the same lines. We cannot impose a legal requirement on a candidate based on unofficial election results. You know, I used to do this when I was a county election official, and we always were very careful to tell candidates that what they saw on election evening, those were unofficial results. You know, those weren't the official results of the election until the election board had met, had looked at any claims that anyone made about the election, the possibility of a recount, all of the other factors that under state election laws can come up and can bring into question the final results of an election. And until the election results were certified, which in this case was June 12th, 4 days after the primary, DeMint did not have, in my opinion, any official responsibility to meet our requirements, because until those results were certified, there was no official runoff that was going to occur. That's the date that any responsibility for compliance with our laws would have come into effect.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mason?
I don't necessarily disagree with Commissioner Von Spakovsky, but I just want to make the point and get the understanding. We don't have to go that far in terms of any difference between official and unofficial results and certification dates in this case, because the audit finding, as I understand it, applies to June 7th and June 8th. Is that correct?
The only items the committee is contesting, correct, apply to June 7th and June 8th. They didn't comment on the rest of the notices that weren't filed.
Mr. Stoltz, any commissioners' thoughts on any of this?
I agree that this is a close issue, and you know, we also consulted with our colleagues in RAD and OGC and came down on this side of it. Naturally, if the commission decides otherwise, we'll be happy to make the adjustment.
Okay. Vice Chairman Mason?
I can understand the different legal arguments here, but just let me express my distress that you know, one of the things that we have to do here all the time is try to make the statute work, and to arrange these often complex and sometimes somewhat contradictory provisions of the statute in a way that we can enforce them and people can comply and so on like that. And this just is a case to me that frankly isn't a close call. And that's what bothers me about, you know, we just get this run up here and there's a very wooden application of the statute, and and that is what's presented to us. And while I know it's, you know, sometimes can be a problem for the staff either way, sometimes you'll come up with things that recommend a little flexibility and we'll say no, for what it's worth, at least in my view in this case, it wasn't a close call. And it didn't come up presented as a close call. It just came up as, well, this is what the statute requires, and that's what they had to do.
Okay. Other thoughts? I mean, from my perspective, I mean, I can understand how the staff reached this conclusion, but I believe that the vice chairman's approach is more reasonable. So I would be supportive of his suggestions on this matter. Commissioner Walther?
Yeah, my view on that was not exactly as I meant to state it. I agree, by the way. I wanted to approve the audit report, and I think in my notes I said we should, if we're going to put somebody in the future to the task of filing it, I think the notice could be more clear about that, you know, if you're involved in a runoff or reasonably believe, or I'm not too sure what the best phraseology is, but I think a notice could do a better job in the future maybe to alert somebody. But in this case, I just didn't think we should hold them to the requirement. So I agree with the comments of everybody so far.
Okay. Other thoughts, comments, suggestions, motions? Vice Chairman Mason?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the audit report be approved, except that finding 2 be revised to conclude that the campaign was not obligated to file 48-hour notices prior to the point at which a runoff election was established as required.
Okay, very good. The vice chairman has so moved. Any discussion on the motion? Hearing none. I'm sorry. Commissioner Von Spakovsky.
I just want to be clear that the effect of that will be to take out, Mr. Stoltz, the $59,500 listed as having been received on June 7th and 8th. Correct?
Correct. Does the vice chairman's motion go further and to the 12th?
I wasn't trying to put too fine a point on it.
But Mr. Stoltz needs to know.
Okay.
Are my colleagues ready to address that point? They are. No, they're not.
I like your first motion.
Okay. The vice chairman's motion stands as stated. Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Madam Secretary, if you could record, the Vice Chairman's motion has been adopted by a vote of 5-0. Mr. Bonowitz, Ms. Stoltz, thank you very much.